If you guys have your Bibles, I'm going to speak out of 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. It's going to be the text for tonight. Pretty well going to stay just right there. Give you guys a minute. 2 Kings chapter 6, starting at verse 1. It says, "And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, 'See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan, and let every man make a beam from there, and let us make there a place where we may dwell.' So he answered, 'Go.' Then one said, 'Please consent to go with your servants.' And he answered, 'I will go.' So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.' So the man of God said, 'Where did it fall?' And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. Therefore he said, 'Pick up yourself. So he reached out his hand and took it." Okay, so there's some things that were kind of stirring in my heart this afternoon about this passage that I really don't think I've ever seen before. And, they said that they were in a place and it had become too small, so they were moving to another place, wanted to move to another place. So they were going there and preparing that place, cutting down trees, making their places to stay or whatever they were going to do. And so, you know, this man has an axe. He's borrowed it. He's using it to cut down trees or cut down a tree and loses the axe head. You know, the thing that jumps out at me is this. That's what they were doing was at life. We work. We go to school, we go to work, we do our daily chores, take the kids to school, you know, you move, you get a new house, that's life. To us, that is ordinary, I guess, or that's just what we do. So, you know, we always think that God is always in the big stuff, the supernatural stuff, the extravagant things, the big deal stuff, but the ordinary matters. The ordinary matters. The day-to-day matters. In fact, sometimes it matters more so, because it's in the day-to-day that there is a relationship and a walk. So this, you know, this man is cutting down this tree, and he loses the axe head into the water, and it's borrowed. Well, you got to realize, I mean, to us, we think, oh, it's an axe. We can go down to Ace and buy one for $20, $30, whatever it is, sometimes cheaper. Back then, that was not the case. Something made of iron, that's a very expensive thing. And it did not belong to him. And God did not just supernaturally make the axe head float. The man of God came up, threw a stick in the water, and made it float. As believers, we have a responsibility to those around us. See, a lot of times we think it's ordinary. We go, "Oh, I'll pray for you." Or, "Oh, I'm sorry." Or we move on about our daily stuff or whatever. But see, as men and women of God, when we see something happen like that, we see things like that, we have a responsibility to be there for that person, to pray. We should be able to do this, to perform the supernatural, to fix the situation. And I'm not just talking about being able to give money and pay bills or things like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being able to be there, to be able to have our relationship with God at such a level that we are able to say, hey, let me break a branch off and throw it in there and fix this situation. Do something supernatural. Let me pray for you. Oh, you have cancer? Well, let me pray for you to be healed. But oftentimes we overlook the ordinary stuff. We come across people who don't believe in Jesus, or maybe it's a struggling Christian or whatever. And if we're a man or a woman of God, we have opportunity there to step up and step in and help in that situation. It's not ordinary. It's ordinary because we, you know, it's daily life to us, but it's not ordinary. Those things are important. They're a big deal. This man was just doing what everybody else was doing. They were moving to a new place and they were building their place to stay or whatever they were doing. He had borrowed an axe. Yes, it was a big deal to him. Elisha could have said, oh, I'm sorry. Let me go get you a new axe. Or done nothing. But he didn't. He did a miracle. He went out, threw a stick in the water, it floated up. And then something else that stood out to me. He didn't do the whole thing for him. He said, you pick it up. He didn't pick it up and hand it to him. He said, you pick it up. So he put some responsibility on him. He's like, there's your axe head. You pick it up. We're supposed to lead people to a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility. We're supposed to be at a relational level with Jesus that we're able to step out and perform the supernatural. So that when the axe head floats, so to say, we can then say, you pick it up. You pick up the relationship with Jesus. So that then they want to pick it up. That moves into point number two. Ties together. This man had an axe cutting down a tree. And when it flung off and went into the water, he lost his cutting edge. Our relationship with Jesus, our passion, our drive, our desire as men and women of God, as believers, is our cutting edge. We can never lose our cutting edge. Jesus said this. He said, if salt loses its flavor, how then can it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown into the fire. In Revelations 2 and 4, it says, you know, talks about losing your first love. What's it talking about? It's talking about losing your cutting edge, your passion, your drive, your desire. If we don't have that, then, you know, nobody's going to want what we got. But even aside from that, that didn't really matter. What it matters, but what really matters is that we have a passion, that we have that cutting edge, that we have not lost our axe head so that others will also want that axe head. But most importantly, that we have that relationship. We can't lose our cutting edge. And the cutting edge is what gets things done. What gets things done is our passion, our drive, our relationship with Jesus. You know, I think it was George Washington that said, and I can't remember the exact quote, but he was talking about chopping down trees, and I think it was George Washington that chopped down a cherry tree or whatever it was. But anyway, I don't remember the exact quote, but it was either him or someone else, so don't quote me on it. But they said this: if I'm gonna cut down a tree, was it? Okay, no, I don't know. Well, the quote is this: if I'm gonna cut down a tree, and it's gonna take an hour, I'm gonna spend 45 minutes sharpening my axe. So what am I saying? I'm saying this. The relationship with Jesus, the prayer life, the time in the Word is sharpening our axe. It is sharpening our cutting edge. The stuff happens out of relationship. It happens out of that time spent with Him. It happens out of that. And the sharper our edge is in relationship with God and with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and the sharper that is, the more things happen. Why did Elisha, why was he able to go out and break a twig off or cut it off and throw it in the water and make an axe head float? Because his edge was sharp. His relationship. We say anointing and this and that. And you know, it is. It is an anointing. But it drives me nuts to hear people go, and I want to get prayer from this person and that person, and that's good. I'm not knocking that. But you know what? You can't just go get hands laid on you and get that. You got to spend time with Jesus. I got to spend time with Jesus. It does me no good to go to every person in the world like Reinhard Bonnke and all these people that are doing massive miracles and spend no time in prayer and spend no time in the Word and spend no time helping people and spend no time making people's axe heads float for them. If I don't do those things, if I don't have love, if I'm not sharpening my own axe, those people that are known like that have learned how to sharpen their axe. That's why they're known. That's why they're going to be known in heaven. That's why you and I will be known. And that's what you and I will be known in heaven for. It will be the time and relationship that we spend with Jesus, because the stuff happens out of that. If I'm not doing that, my axe is dull, my relationship is dull, and the axe head flings off for somebody I come across, and it's in the bottom of the lake, I'm not going to be able to do much about it. But if we're ready, and we have to be, this community needs you. It needs us. Vider needs us. The Golden Triangle needs us to step up with sharp axes, with sharp relationships with Jesus, to be there and be available when the opportunities arise to do miracles, signs, and wonders. And then after the miracle happens, go, okay, now you pick it up. But if we're not doing that, the opportunity to say, you pick it up, ain't going to happen. Well, it may happen, but somebody else will get the blessing. Let's say that. But I don't know about you. I don't want somebody else getting the blessing only. I want them to get it too, but I want a part of it. In eternity, I want to be able to sit around with the apostles and share stories. I don't want to just sit and listen in the corner. You don't either. But it's easy to go through life in the ordinary and get dull. It's easy. That's easy to do. It's hard to keep a sharp axe. It's hard to keep it ready. It's hard to keep that relationship vibrant, on fire, and sharp. But oh, is it worth it? Oh, is it worth it? It's so worth it. It's worth every minute of it. So, God cares about the ordinary. And out of the ordinary comes the super ordinary or the supernatural. See, the enemy likes to trick us with this. He likes to say, oh, that's just normal. That's just ordinary. No. All of these stories in this book right here started with something ordinary, day-to-day, natural, and then became supernatural. Because somebody like Elisha was standing there ready to go. And you and I have the Holy Ghost inside of us. Where some or most of them didn't have him. He was on the outside, or he was available, or he was a pawn. But he's in us. We have even more. And we have the same opportunity. In fact, even more so in some cases. But it's easy to become complacent and lazy and go through life and put it in neutral and just do the norm. And most of us do. Most people do. But there is a passion and a fire. There is an opportunity to sharpen the axe every single day of relationship with Jesus. And to be ready. You know, like that quote, I'm going to spend most of my time sharpening the axe. Sharpen the axe 45 minutes, the tree you're cutting down take 10. You try with a dull axe, and you're going to be chopping that tree for an hour and a half and may not get it down. And that applies to life. And you work that hard on a tree with a dull axe, there's a good chance it's going to break, fly off in the water, have to be brought up by somebody. You know what I mean? But I don't know about you, but I want to be there. I want to be ready when those opportunities come along. When that coworker needs prayer. When that person on the side of the road needs help. When I drive up on an accident and I'm the first one there and I can lay hands on somebody and pray for them and see a miracle. When whatever. You know, we could go on and on with those situations. And we're all, every day and all the time, coming across those situations. And when we do, we want to be ready. Be ready to make the axe head float. And then say, okay, that was Jesus. Now you pick him up. Wanted to read a quote to you. This is the third thing I want to talk about. We do it. God, Jesus died on the cross. Forgive us of our sins. He's called us to gather his inheritance on this earth. To be available. To be there like Elisha. Be available to do the supernatural. To lead people to him, and in leading people to him, we're gathering his inheritance. His inheritance is the saints. It's you and me and every other person out there that's not saved yet, or that is, that we need to be gathering in, pulling into the kingdom of heaven. And you and me need to do the stuff. We need to be there like Elisha and do it. Be able to walk over to the riverbank, break the twig, throw it in the water, and make it float. Whatever that situation is, if that fits. And with that said, I wanted to read this quote. There are two. This is not scripture. There are two kinds of people in this world. Those who do something and those who critique those who do something. We're in one category or the other. If we're not doing something for Jesus, I can guarantee you we're critiquing. No, I'm not. Yeah, you are. It's true. The only way not to critique is to be doing something. Because then you got no time to complain. You got no time to critique. In fact, if we're doing something for God, we won't critique because we know how it feels. We understand what it's like. When we're doing something for Him and moving in a relationship and reaching out to others, we get it. If we're not, we don't. We critique, we complain. That's human nature. Any of us who are not keeping our axes sharp in relationship will do that, myself included. Because it's human nature. So with this sermon, what I wanted to encourage you guys with is this. Sharpen your axes. Be ready. Be ready. God is sending opportunities. And even if He didn't send it, they're there. They're coming. They're going to happen. But there's going to be opportunities. There's going to be people come along. And in the days ahead, be looking for those opportunities to make that axe head float. To pray. I want to give you an example. There was a real struggle over the last 3 months. Work slow, just rough. Contracting's like that. It's, you know, 150 miles an hour and then it stops, zero and no work, no income. Then it jumps back to 150 miles an hour. That's just been doing it 13, 14 years now, and that's just how it is. The other day, my brother-in-law called me. 4 days ago, I guess now. 3 days ago, 4 days ago. He called me one morning. And he said, and he was, you know, going through same kind of stuff. He's like, man, just calling, you know, wanted to pray with you. You know, pray together. And I got to be honest. I wasn't in all that great a mood. Just being real. My axe was dull. I ain't lying. So I was like, okay, yeah, let's pray. So he starts praying. And, you know, I didn't think a whole lot about it at the moment. But I was, you know, I was thinking, yeah, this is good at the end. But then I was thinking, okay, what do I need to do? You know, yada, yada, you know, thinking through that. And then I was feeling guilty and I was like, oh, Jesus, please forgive me. And, but that day, an hour after he prayed, I got a phone call and got a job. And it was a good one. 30 minutes after that, another one. That day, I think 4 jobs, big ones, 2 of them, real big ones. And it has been rolling ever since. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. That was somebody that chose, like Elisha, to go over to the riverbank, break a twig, and throw it in the water. That's what you and I, that's what we can do. Pray with people. Are we going to feel like it all the time? No. But do it. Be ready. It works. We're called to do the supernatural. That is who we are. We are His children. We are on this earth for a purpose. If you guys would stand up, I want to pray. And if you need prayer tonight, if you're in that place where your axe head's out there in the bottom of the lake, needed to float, let's pray. Let's see God move. Father God, I thank you, God, for your goodness. I thank you, God, for your supernatural power, God. I thank you that you love us. I thank you that nothing is really ordinary, God, that everything matters to you. Everything is important. What we feel like is ordinary, what we feel like is mundane, you care about. You care about our lives. You care about what goes on and what we're doing and what's going on and what we're struggling with and what we're worried about. You care about us. You care about those things. And you've given provision for all of it. And so, Father God, right now, tonight, everyone here, I just ask you, by your Holy Spirit, to just envelope all of us, to just wrap your arms around individuals here tonight and just encourage and warm. And God, begin to make things float that cannot float. Begin to do miracles. God, I thank you. And just ask you to make things rise to the surface that we think cannot change, that cannot get better. God, right now tonight, I declare that they get better, that they're repaired, they're fixed, they come back to the surface. God, that you do what you do, God. And Father, most importantly of all, that you reach down into our hearts right here and right now and put that fire in us, God, that desire to pursue you, to pursue your word, the hunger for your word, the hunger to spend time in prayer with you, the hunger to go after you at all costs. To sharpen our axes, God. To be ready when the axe head goes in the water, God. To be ready when those opportunities present themselves. To be able to reach out to someone and say, you pick him up. He's here for you. And Father God, I thank you for that in Jesus' name, God. And I just ask you to bless everyone here tonight. And this week, God, let those opportunities come, God, and let us be ready. Let us be ready like Elisha to walk over and know exactly what to do at that moment. In Jesus' name, amen.